For our special guest this week, he's a man who needs no introduction. But let me give John a quick intro all the same, as it brings a smile to my face as I read his achievements, as they really are so inspiring. As well as representing Ireland with distinction in senior and masters world championships on the mountains, John is the first Irishman and also the first male master over 40 worldwide to complete all six world marathon majors in just under 2 hours and 30 minutes. Not bad for someone who started running in their mid-30s. Let's dial in, John, and ask how he combines the roads and the mountains with such great success. John Kinsella, John, you're an absolute gent, mate. Thanks a million for coming on, because I know you're on your holidays at the moment in the Canary Islands after an incredibly busy couple of weeks for you, John. So thanks a million for finding the time to come on.
No problem. I appreciate it. Good to be back on again and have a chat with yourself. And you're probably not that far away from me in another island, but if you were here, we might get a couple of hills.
Yeah, and it was 3 years ago, John, that you were on last. And so much has happened in the last 3 years, hasn't it? Highs and lows. The last couple of weeks, some tremendous highs. And what we were just saying, John, just before we came on, was that we mightn't talk about the main news story of the last 2 weeks and the incredible success of Ava and the national championship win in Dublin and our two hours 34, because, you know, we can see her journey on the great YouTube videos that you've been posting and some fantastic articles in the Irish Times, the local papers in Limerick as well. Where today, John, I wanted to ask you about what I think will be very, very useful for a lot of our listeners who would love to be able to combine successful running in the mountains with maybe the odd road marathon like Dublin a couple of weeks ago. Because, John, you've done it so well over the last couple of months, running for Ireland, coming second Irishman in the senior world championships, and then winning the over 45 title in Dublin and running the equivalent of a PB time for you, the 2 hours 26. And just to talk to you, John, about how you managed to do it, really.
Yeah, you know, I ran, I think, 2:26 five or six times now, and every time I did it, my training was totally different.
Really? Wow.
And I might have been doing all hills. When I first ran 2:26, it was just really all road, because I was on my holidays in Poland and I was doing lots of mileage and real specific marathon training. And then a couple of times, like if you go back to even Boston this year, I was training for all hills. And then I just did a marathon pace run 2 weeks out and a 10K marathon pace 1 week out. And I got 2:26 out of that, you know. So it's been, I'd say there's no secret. It's just like do loads of running. And, you know, I think you're always going to have a capacity to do a certain time or a certain, you're always going to be a certain percentage of near what what's in your to do, I think, anyway. And even if you're doing all hill training, you know, it's non-specific, but at the same time, it's still getting you very, very fit. And, I think, if I have a bit of belief then, and because every time I go into marathon now, I always think I'm going to run 5:35 a mile and see how far I can go with it. And sometimes I hang on and sometimes I fade slightly, but I know I'm going to get to 20 miles anyway before either the wheels come off or it's going to be a good day. So that's the way it is, you know, really.
Yeah, well, it's funny, John, that you mentioned that, because I remember talking to Gary Crozen a couple of years ago. Remember the great Gary Crozen, who was the National Irish Marathon Champion, I think, was it around the mid-2000s? And, you know, Gary spoke about how that he would have loved to have broken 2:20, because I think he won a lot of his national championships in 2:22, 2:23, around that. And he said that he tried everything. He tried high mileage with big, long runs. He tried lower mileage with shorter, faster sessions. But he still couldn't break 2:20. It was still always around 2:21, 2:22. So, and you just said kind of the same thing there, that once we're actually just consistent in our running, I think, and we're getting the volume and the mileage, you know, after we've been running that consistently for 6-7 years, then we maybe hit a plateau, maybe. And the trick is maybe just trying to stay at that level and be consistent and knock out the good times year after year, as opposed to maybe trying to maybe worrying too much about the specific sessions that you're doing, where the key, John, I think, is just to be running every week, every day, like you've been doing so well.
Yeah, definitely. Even like this year for the World Championships, like I said, I was doing a lot of training with Ava. So her marathon pace, we'll say, was around, if you go kilometers, around 3:39. So for me then, if I wanted to run a 2:26, that would my aerobic threshold would be not far from that. So I was doing sessions with Ava, and then I was doing like I'd do like a double aerobic threshold session, and then I go up to the mountains maybe in that evening, and I'd end up doing maybe 1 hour at aerobic threshold or something specific to the hills then. So I had a good run in the World Championships off that type of training, just kind of balancing like aerobic threshold work really shouldn't take that much out of you because it's a low intensity, but I was doing a lot of it, and that got me very fit, and that's probably what got me a good race in the worlds and a good marathon as well. I wasn't trying to beat myself into shape. I was just building up from a lower intensity by doing a lot of volume of it, and it worked,
Yeah, and I picked that up, John, on one of the YouTube videos there that you put up over the last week or two with Ava. And I think at one point you said, "Oh, that's 200 kilometers for the week," or something like
Yeah.
that. And I heard that and went, "Jesus, John's running 200 kilometers a week." And was that right, John? There was a couple of weeks where you were hitting 200K.
Yeah, that was my first time actually doing 200 kilometers. It was like, 'cause the way I work, like I find it very hard to go all in on everything. I mean, diet, strength and conditioning, running. If I'm say, well, basically what happened before that was I did 5K at marathon pace, and my heart rate was nearly up by threshold. I knew then, like, there's no way I'm going to be able to run this sort of marathon down the line anyway. But I just anytime I do a marathon pace run, it gives me an idea of my capacity at that time and what I need to work on. And then I was like, no, this is feeling way too hard to run marathon pace. So I said, I'm just going to do a big volume of mileage. And 5 weeks, I did 90, and that was 110 or whatever that whatever was 200K. It's,
About 124 miles, John. I got the calculator out.
Yeah, all right,
124
124.
miles.
Yeah, so I did massive volume, and I didn't really, like I said, the only sessions I was doing was what I was doing with Ava, and then up and down maybe Keeper Hill, aerobic threshold or whatever, but really low intensity. And it was just think I'm going to do loads of miles. And after 5 weeks, I ran a 10K in training, we'll say a 5:25 a mile, and my heart rate was 5 beats lower than it was when I did marathon pace. Which is 10 seconds, slower. So, I don't know. For me, the volume and the mileage gives me obviously it would get anyone a bigger capacity to do running, fast running. So, I try not to, like I said, I try not to whip myself into shape, but I usually go the opposite way and do lower intensity but more volume, and that works for me, like.
That's fascinating, John. It really is. Did you find, John, that it was easy enough for you to actually to stay healthy, John, when you're hitting 100 miles, and not even 100 miles a week, 124 miles per week? Was the body breaking down at all, or was the fact that you were very strictly doing it at aerobic threshold and below, was that manageable for you? Because I'm sure for most people, John, who I presume you still work, John, that last time we were talking 3 years ago, you were telling me about you were doing 12-hour shifts. I presume you still work. You haven't made your millions yet. So,
I still work. I'm doing 8 to 4 now, so which is good. So I can, if I did 45 minutes on my lunch break, and then I'd top it up later. So I find a good balance there. And I was getting, we'll say, I would have done my weekends would have been two kind of long ones, or sometimes it might be a long and a double on Saturday and a long on Sunday. And then the following Saturday, then top it up with another long run. So it was just a case of, I just had it in my head, okay, I'm going to do 200, because I was doing maybe 150s, 160s, And then, like I said, it was all easy. Just I found it easy to add on. Yeah, I wasn't. If I was doing the 5-cycle shift like I was before, I probably would have broke down, and I probably
Yeah.
would have struggled to recover. But it wasn't. I wasn't forcing myself to. I actually felt good. You know, I felt good when I did it, like, because I wasn't doing any really hard sessions.
Yeah, no, mad, 5K type work, 5x1K
Oh.
or 10x400s, all just good quality aerobic capacity. And then,
Yeah.
John, like to get ready for the World Championships with the Irish team, where you did the short trail, 45 kilometers, alongside Enda Cloke, Luke Weldon, Gavin Byrne, a really good team that went over there. Did you find that you had to do technical mountain sessions where you're going up tricky ascents, you're doing technical downhill running? Did that interfere with your mileage build up towards Dublin and your training with Ava? How did you manage to get ready for the 45 kilometers and 6 hours of running in Canfranc?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of steep climbing, which always my weakness before, because I was probably maybe 73 kilograms, but that's my weight, we'll say. But I was about 73 kilograms going into the race, and I was always struggling against my peers going up on the climbs in mountain races. And you know, because you're obviously like my VO2 max and someone else's VO2 max. It goes out the window when running economy comes into going up a hill. So it was it's always something that I'm conscious about, that I made a conscious effort to work on my steep climbs, like 30% gradient. And there was a couple of climbs then, I mean, the Silver Mines. So it goes on for about 1 kilometer, so it probably took about 30 minutes to get up that 1K of a climb, and you're getting 1,000 feet at the top of it. So I just got good at that, as in years ago when I was racing, I used to hate that in races, and I used to think, oh, I'm bad. But my mindset just changed. It was like, it has to be done, and I have to just get used to finding the pace that I know that I can make a deal with my brain that, like, this is horrible, but I can maintain this for a long time. And that's the way it is in Mount the long The long mountain races now, when I'm racing against them, it's like, I know it's going to be horrible, but it's going to end at some point, and I just go get into kind of a flow then. So I don't really hate the climbs anymore.
And that climbing that you were doing in training, it stood to you then for the strength needed to run a very hilly Dublin marathon course as well. It didn't interfere with your marathon training on the flat. And it sounded like, John, it was just a perfect combination for you and a fantastic couple of months training over the summertime and the lead up to the Worlds and then to Dublin. Just really enjoyable. Steady running and not killing yourself with hard 5K, 10K type work, just lots of enjoyable running.
Yeah, like if you go back to last year, I came back from the Euros, and I haven't done any speed work whatsoever, any 10K or 5K. And if someone said to me, go out and run a mile in 5 minutes, I said, I can't do it. And I went, and like a couple of weeks after the Euros, I did a mountain race, my Lussa, I think, hard race. And then I did a local 10K, and I ran 32:20. And then I went to Dundrum there in 31:03 without doing any speed work whatsoever. Just my high aerobic stuff, VO2 max stuff, was all just hill running, and I didn't do one any. I didn't even run 1 kilometer at, we'll say, 3:15 pace or whatever it was, or whatever 5 minute pace is. And I went out in 31:03 without doing any speed work. So the hills, the hills are my hard stuff. And then, I do a lot of marathon pace stuff, and I do a lot of aerobic threshold stuff, and that's what I just find works for me, because it doesn't kill me as much as doing maybe hard VO2 max reps. Like, so a lot some people do a lot of 1K reps and stuff, but I never do anything like that really.
Incredible. John, how do you feel, John, now, say, coming out of the that block in preparation for the World Championships, and then the Dublin Marathon build up, the execution of the 2:26 in Dublin, taking the gold medal in the over 45 category. How does the body feel now, John, after that summer? Like, do you need to go away and rest for a couple of weeks, or are you actually beginning to freshen up now that we're nearly 2 weeks post Dublin now?
Yeah, look, I feel good. What I did after the Worlds was I took a week off, and I never take any time off. I just took a full week off, no running whatsoever. And I knew if I wanted to run Dublin, I have to just be fresh because you're not going to lose that fitness. You're not going to lose it straight away.
Yeah.
And it was just the case of get my body fresh, we'll say, letting it recover from that 6 hour run. And then I just did marathon pace. And then I did 21K at marathon pace. So I ran 1:13, 1:12:43 in training 2 weeks before Dublin, after a few days, I suppose, after coming back. And I knew then, and my heart rate was good. I was happy with the data. I said, "Yeah, I'm definitely going to go out and run at this pace,"
Yeah.
it worked out for me. Like so, I didn't do it. Like I said, I didn't do anything faster than I did. I did one session a week before Dublin, then where I did a bit marathon pace and then maybe a threshold rep and then a fast rep, and that's all I did. And it got me
Wow.
there, and I felt good. I felt good. I think a lot of the times, like I said, we tried to train too hard, and now I just know if I go into any race and I'm feeling fresh, I'm going to have a good run, and I'm going to be able to run 5:35 a mile till at least 20 miles, and then after that, it's a marathon. You just got to dig in, I suppose, and hope everything doesn't start shutting down.
Yeah, John, it's funny. I was watching a video, another video on YouTube the other day after I was watching the one that you did with Ava, and it was a day in the life with Haaland from Manchester City. And he
Yeah.
was talking through how he keeps himself fit and healthy and the super foods that he was eating. He's in an ice bath every day, infrared sauna, etc., massages every day. Like, do you need to keep on top of stuff like that, John, yourself, with ice baths and super nutrition? When you are running 124, 125 miles a week, or would you just say, no, to be honest, I'm just living a normal life. I'm not in an ice bath every day. How is the body staying healthy, do you reckon?
I think it's just a bit of luck, definitely. And if I could do all those things Haaland was doing, I definitely feel a lot better. But I don't do anything like that. If someone sponsored me, I do it every day, but I can't, just the reality of it. And I think it's because I started running when I was 35, so I suppose this would be 10 years running. Maybe I'm not after reaching my peak yet. I hope anyway, because the first couple of years I was doing maybe only 40 or 50 miles a week, and then it's only recently, the last couple of years, when I tried to break 2:30, I started putting a big emphasis on big volume and big mileage. But I have, like I said, I have a family. My partner works even sometimes, and I'm limited in a lot of things I can do. I can't just go to a sauna or go to a gym or anything like that. So I definitely think, like, for 99% of the time, my diet's usually pretty good. And I could definitely do a lot more strength and conditioning, but I'm probably the most inflexible person ever, like, but I can still like jump around if it's like. I think my soccer things actually stood to me. All those, like, the plyometrics and stuff I used to do years ago every day nearly, because I was a coach as well, and I could go on and do ladders there, and I could fly through a ladder like the fittest soccer player around. I still have that reactivity, and I think it definitely helps. It translates into running, because it kind of keeps me able to handle fast paces and lots of volume, because I think my tendons and my Achilles and stuff are just really strong after years and years of jumping up and down as a goalkeeper and doing soccer drills and stuff. And then when I came into the running, then I had this base, and it would have been similar to Aval. She came from a very sporty background as well. And these are things that people don't really count, when it comes to running, but they have a massive impact on you in the future if you've developed all these things before you started running.
Maybe two quick technical questions, John, before I let you get back there to the swimming pool in Tenerife. In terms of nutrition, John, for the World Championships and the 6 hours, and then your nutrition for the Dublin Marathon, what was it similar? Was it very different for the two events? Were you getting, your gels into you every half an hour, the standardized approach, or were you doing anything majorly different between the two races?
Yeah, so in Canfranc, obviously it was going to be two aid stations, and I broke the race down to the two aid stations. So I, to be honest, I took about 100, I could take about 100, I'd say, calories an hour, I guess, because I took Morton 320, and then I took three gels, and that got me to the first aid station at around 16K, and then I did the same again, and I didn't take any electrolytes. Like when I did the qualifier, my legs just seized up. It was my first time running a past 4.5 hours up in Granite Peaks, but it was a brutal race. And my everything just seized up, my calves especially. And I didn't take one sodium tablet in Canfranc, and I got no cramps. I think it's just I put my body through it in the qualifier, and my body just adapted to that. And the 6 hours felt normal, and I was able to do it. And then in Dublin, it's just the standard thing. I take a gel every 20 minutes, which is easy to remember: 20, 40, 60, 120, 140. And then I have six after 2 hours. And for the last half hour, it's just about digging in, you know.
Well, that's interesting, John, that it's actually every 20 minutes you're taking a gel. In the past, I've done every half an hour, but you're even pushing the boat out more in terms of getting even more carbs in because it's every 20 minutes. So you're actually getting what, four gels in on 0, 20, 40, and 60. So yeah, you're hitting close to 100 grams of carbs per hour.
Yeah, I can tolerate. Like I could take more, and I probably wouldn't have any problem with it. And I take them on early, like I said. I think a gel, when you get to the last half hour in a marathon, a gel is probably not going to do nothing for you. If you're low on glycogen at that stage, like you probably have so much fatigue built up that you're never really going to recover from it. But
Are you happy, John, carrying the gels yourself, or do you have somebody out on the course giving you the
Oh,
gels?
yeah, old school now. I got the mother-in-law to make these shorts of me. Probably
Oh, very
similar to
good.
Cullen's ones, but these ones, I have three pockets. So I put two caffeine in one, and electrolyte one maybe in on a different one. So just so I know where everything is. But it's the first couple of marathons I did, I was only taking one every maybe 5 miles. I think I did my first Dublin. And I took a gel at 5 mile 10, and it was like I did it in Berlin. That was nothing, like, really. When I look back now, like, even that extra, like, I'm taking six now, but that extra two makes a massive difference, like, in the
No,
marathon.
it's a great tip. John, shoes of choice for the World Championships on the trails and then the shoes that you wore in Dublin?
I wore the lightest shoes I could think of in the tr in Canfranc, and it was a big mistake because they only had 2.5 mil lug, and the very first hill I fell, and I got a bad fall. I ended up hitting my chin off a rock, and if I put my head down another bit, I would have broke my teeth. But that kind of that fall just got me very winded in, and I was actually making more time going up on the hills, which is not like me. But I fell, I had a bad fall, and I was ahead. I think I was not far behind the winner, the female winner, on the first climb, and I fell then, and then Scott Adkin, a couple of other people passed me, and that was the trend for the rest of the race. So if I had to do it again, I'd definitely pick something with a better grip, because I like something with I like something with a good grip. But I wore the Salomon Pulsar Trails, the very light ones, like 200 grams, and then Alpha Flies, I think, are king for the marathon for me anyway. I love
Alpha Flies,
them.
fantastic, fantastic. Well, listen, John, maybe one last question, John, before you go. John, you've achieved so much in the last couple of years, from the World Championships there with Ireland, over 45 national marathon champion, as well as the fantastic record that you have in Berlin, Boston, Chicago, London, New York, and Tokyo. What's next, John, for you? What would you like to do in 2026?
Yeah, like, because when you come into the Masters, like I said, there's only so much, so only so long you can keep keep up with the younger fellas. But I think now my goals have changed. If I do the majors, I want to try to get on the podium in the age category. I did it in Boston and I've did it in Chicago. So I'd like to actually do that in all the majors if I end up doing them again. So it's something that keeps me in the game anyway. And whether I go back and do senior or not, it's debatable. I might just try to run a PB. I feel I can run a PB in a marathon, so that's my goal for next year.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And you'll be kept busy, I'm sure, with all the back to Boston guys, girls as well. And will you be heading over, John, in April to Boston?
Yeah, I have an entry for it. I want to go over, and some Spanish guy beat me last year. He was in the elite category, Spanish runner. He ran 2:23 or 2:24. So
I think that was Pablo Villalobos, John. I remember. And Pablo Villalobos,
possibly, yeah.
he's Olympic standard. So to be in the same mix with Pablo, John, is superb. Fair play.
Yeah, I'm coming after Pablo next year anyway.
Well, listen, John, thanks a million for taking a half an hour out of your holiday. Congratulations on all your wonderful success to yourself, to Ava, all the team, and back to Boston as well. And John, looking forward to seeing you in action, mate, in 2026 again. Well done.
And actually, I have one more question for you because you're M45 as well. When are you going to come and join the Masters team and we take over the world or Europe as the
Oh, John,
M45, Ian
babe,
Conroy?
give me a race, give me a date, and I'll be there, John. Absolutely. Hopefully, I'll be back in the cross country in February. And if there's a European or Worlds next year in 26, sign me up, mate. Sign me up.
There is. Ian Conroy is 45 as well, so we'll have a good team.
Yeah, sure. But we were over 35
All
world
right.
champions there a couple of years ago, John. Do you remember when that's when we first got to meet each other? So hopefully we can repeat that in the over 45 category, mate. Absolutely. Well, there we have it, guys. Hope you enjoyed the chat with John. And as a little anecdote on the chat with John there last Friday, we were scheduled to talk on the Thursday. And when I dialed through to John, he was literally hanging off the side of a mountain in Tenerife in his full running gear after a training run went a little longer than expected. So certainly a first for me to dial in one of our special guests while they are literally out running up a mountain. So fair play, John, for coming back on the Friday. And good to see you got back home safely from that tricky run on the Thursday. And thanks for coming on, mate, again. Thanks also to, of course, Rene for our fantastic coaching slot, as always. And good luck to everyone in the build up to Run the Line on Saturday 22nd, a very popular race on the Irish racing calendar, and of course a race which raises funds for the Dublin Wicklow Mountain Rescue Team, a very worthy cause indeed. And a quick reminder before I go to use that code FUELUP, uppercase or lowercase, for 10% off all your sports nutrition and supplement needs on Irish store newleafonline.ie, where mountain runner and proud UTMB finisher Mairead O'Keefe and the team will be more than happy to help you out. Everybody, get your running gear on. Let's go.